KPBS On Demand is supported by the City of Chula Vista and the Port of San Diego hosting South Bay Earth Day at Bayfront Park on Saturday, April 18th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with tips on how to reduce your impact on the environment and hands-on green activities, food, and music. Additional information at southbayearthday.com.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, March 31st. We spoke with two Chicana leaders about how their community is reacting to the recent Cesar Chavez allegations. More on that next, but first, the headlines. 26 years ago, California was the first state to name Cesar Chavez Day a holiday. Last week, California lawmakers unanimously passed a bill renaming the holiday to Farm Workers Day following allegations of sexual assault and abuse by Cesar Chavez. And just last Tuesday, the San Diego Unified School District began the process of renaming Cesar Chavez Elementary School. Before that, San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria signed an executive order directing city departments to begin removing references to Cesar Chavez from buildings. Community and labor leaders put out an open letter on Sunday with the message of La Lucha Sigue, or The Fight Continues. A full-page ad ran in the LA and New York Times ahead of today's Farm Workers Day. The effort was led by the SEIU United States Workers West Union. Co-signers of the letter say, quote, "Together we must demand transparency and accountability from anyone who perpetrates, enables, or ignores abuse from the fields to the White House," unquote. The coalition of community and labor leaders say they aim to create a future rooted in solidarity. Forecasters say a cooling trend is expected for much of the week, alongside some gusty winds as well. There is a wind advisory currently in effect for our mountain areas, starting tonight at 8 p.m. through 11 p.m. tomorrow. Highs near the coast will land in the upper 60s and lower 70s. Our valleys are expected to be in the mid-70s, and the lower deserts will land in the low 80s. National Weather Service says that on Wednesday, there is a slight chance of rain in our beach, valley, and coastal areas. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Andrew Bracken. For the first time in over 50 years, KPBS is now operating without federal funding. That means more than ever, we're powered by you. Your support this year and every year is an investment in local storytelling, trusted journalism, and capturing the moments that bring San Diegans together. Visit kpbs.org/donate to join us.
On what used to be known as Cesar Chavez Day, Chicanos are grappling with recent allegations against the farm workers' rights icon. Reporter Katie Heisen spoke with two Chicana leaders about how their communities are processing the news.
Earlier this month, multiple women accused Cesar Chavez of child sexual abuse and rape in the New York Times.
That moment was difficult. You know, I think it still is confusing, you know, very confusing, concerning. It's just, I don't know, I just feel like without words.
For Maria Figueroa, the following week felt like an eternity.
It's very difficult to articulate, you know, because I think we're all, many of us, are still very much in our emotions, you know. And I point to my heart because it feels conflicted on so many levels.
Figueroa is a professor and a leader in local Chicano and Latino organizations.
Ultimately, we need to question, like, why we uphold particular heroes and icons. And I think we do so because colonialism and genocide did a number on us, right? It attempted to erase us.
Figueroa says elevating icons like Chavez was a way to survive that erasure, to say, aquí estamos y no nos vamos, to carve out space for themselves culturally and physically.
I know statues are covered now, or, you know, busts are being chipped away and murals are being painted over and or covered. And so very, very swiftly.
She says people are doing what they need to do to respond to the situation. And it's a painful loss for a community that fought so hard to win representation in the first place. The response to the allegations has been swift. Schools and streets are being renamed across the country. California renamed today Farmworkers Day. Chavez's face is rapidly disappearing from public spaces. But Figueroa says the community's processing is slow.
Our culture is very different, you know. I think we just need time for pause and reflection.
She says that pause and reflection is not to disregard the survivors, but to figure out how to hold their stories in a way that honors them, something that will take longer than a week. Monica Hernandez shared a similar sentiment. She's the new executive director of the Chicano Park Museum and Cultural Center.
Because we take the time to try and think collectively, that's why, you know, it's a slower process. And particularly in this instance, there are going to be long-term wide-range implications for our community. And that's why we feel the need for us to move in a very nuanced kind of way.
White-dominated modern media isn't built for that kind of processing. Reporters call immediately. They need quotes now for a story today.
You know, we're being asked to sit in front of a camera, right, to think out loud things that we are still trying to process internally, right, that are conversations that I haven't even had the time to have with myself, because particularly with communities that go through so many things that, you know, we've experienced so much trauma, we're marginalized, underrepresented. On a day-to-day, we are already existing in a level of, like, survival mode. And then we have these moments of crisis where we're expected to drop everything to address that. And so it puts us in this really tough place, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually.
And while consequences for Chavez's legacy have been swift, she doesn't see the same consequences for other men.
We have an ongoing problem against violence against women, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity. This is something that continues to happen to women, that we have against someone in power right now that has, there's multiple allegations against him, not just him, but many other men in power. Note to this day, there has not been any accountability.
Figueroa noted something else, getting lost in all the conversations and questions about Chavez, the survivors. Instead of focusing on the fall of an icon, she says we should focus on asking, how did this happen? And how can we make sure it doesn't happen again? Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
For decades, the Imperial Valley city of Brawley has celebrated Cesar Chavez as a hometown hero. Now the city is confronting his alleged abuses. Reporter Corey Suzuki went to Brawley to learn more.
As allegations of rape and sexual abuse against American civil rights icon Cesar Chavez emerged 2 weeks ago, Max Reyes didn't hesitate. Reyes is the son of Mexican-American farm workers and the organizer of Brawley's annual Cesar Chavez Day March. The very next day, he removed Chavez's name from the event on Facebook, renaming it the El Movimiento March.
Sadness, like a betrayal, hurt. Those are the feelings I had because we had placed this man on such a pedestal.
The allegations against Chavez, which are continuing to shake California, have been especially painful for Brawley, the farming community where Chavez went to middle school and where his wife was born. A painting of Chavez sits on the east wall of the school he attended, Miguel Hidalgo Elementary, and the city has a central street named after him. City officials say they're looking at options for renaming it. Reyes says the name has to come down. He says the farmworkers' rights movement is not a cult, unwilling to see their leaders' flaws, protecting them at all costs.
We can't just say he didn't exist. I mean, but we'll tell the truth.
The Brawley City Council could discuss renaming Cesar Chavez Street as early as next week. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
As county officials consider major reforms and tax measures, supervisors are meeting behind closed doors. For this week's edition of Why It Matters, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis explains how officials have been skirting transparency requirements.
For months, county supervisors have met in secret subcommittees to discuss various issues. One pair of them hired a team to help gauge support for tax increases. They also put a bid out for other consultants to lobby the state to make it as easy as possible to raise taxes. After an outcry, county staff leaders canceled that effort. The county says these secret subcommittees are not official and do not need to follow the state's open meeting law, known as the Brown Act. Longtime public transparency advocate David Loy says the county is getting close to potentially violating the law.
It does present serious concerns, and I think the county should be concerned. And there's nothing to stop the board from erring on the side of transparency and treating these committees as covered by the Brown Act. And I understand that may be less convenient. You know, transparency isn't always efficient or convenient, but we have a Brown Act for a reason.
After the lobbying contract was killed, county staff agreed to summarize what happens in the subcommittees for other supervisors. But board approval is not required for contracts under $2 million. The county is considering tax increases and much more that could affect residents. I'm Scott Lewis for Voice San Diego, and that's why it matters.
Meanwhile, in the city of San Diego, the city's auditor is out with a new report on the fire rescue department's response times. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the department is not meeting its goals.
The audit examined responses to medical emergencies, not wildfires, and it did not focus on travel time or how long it takes a fire engine to get through traffic and reach the scene. Instead, the report looked at turnout time. Once a call is received, how long does it take a firefighter to suit up and reach the fire engine? City Auditor Andy Hanau said the department changed its policy in 2019 to avoid sending out crews unnecessarily.
There is a trade-off with that system. It preserves resources, as they pointed out. It also slows the response to medical emergencies.
The City Firefighters Union criticized the audit's methodology and said the city can improve response times by building more fire stations. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
A new exhibit at the USS Midway Museum highlights the experiences of prisoners of war during the Vietnam War. Military and Veterans Affairs reporter Andrew Dyer says some of them flew off that very ship.
I was a POW in Vietnam for 7 months of the last 7 months of the war.
Captain Jack Inch was one of 11 naval aviators from the USS Midway to be shot down and captured by North Vietnamese forces during the Vietnam War. A new exhibit at the Midway Museum honors those 11 and all POWs from the war. The museum held a National Vietnam Veterans Day ceremony Monday alongside the opening of its new exhibit. Kathy Inch was home in San Diego when her husband Jack went missing. She says the military family support network wasn't what it is today, and things were difficult for her and their 7-year-old daughter.
She didn't think she'd ever see her daddy again, and there was no counseling available at all. I was on my own.
The new exhibit takes visitors through squadron ready rooms. Those were the last places air crews saw before they left on missions. There's also a separate area dedicated to the Midway's own 11 POWs. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
On The Finest Podcast, we cover the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego, from Blink 182 to scrappy local bands. We also have cults, a lost composer, a world record traveler, and champion birders. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.